Bible says about our dress. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I know we got some papers out there. Does anyone need a paper for our lesson tonight? Anybody need one? Make sure we get it if you do. You may need one. All good? All right. Very good. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 is where we'll start out. Let's do the introduction and kind of do a little review. We established these things the last couple of weeks, that dress does matter to God. Again, we looked at the very first time dress is mentioned in the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve sinned, their eyes were opened. They saw that they were naked. They were ashamed. They began to try to clothe themselves. And man's first attempt at clothing, God said, no, it isn't right. And God corrected it. And so we see a principle from the very beginning that that dress matters to God. And I made this statement secondly, things that matter to God should matter to us. If it matters to God, then it's something that should matter to us as well. Again, it always amazes me when we begin to teach, you know, a lesson on dress or a sermon on dress, how it gets under people's skin so easily. You talk about ruffling feathers. Just start talking about dress and people get downright mad at you. Someone recently told me that, I preach on it too much. And so I was interested in it. Do I? So I was putting these sermons online, and out of the last 854 sermons I've preached on dress 4 times. So I don't think that's too much, right? 4 out of 854. That's not a big percentage. I don't think it's the frequency of preaching. I think it might be the conviction of preaching. It's, again, the last few weeks, there's been some who don't like what I've taught, and they've let me know, and that's fine. All I will always say is the same thing I'll say tonight. All I ask you to do is get out a Bible, look at what we've said, what does God say? And then, I was told this week it's a matter of interpretation. And I will say that's one of the problems, is we keep trying to interpret things instead of just obeying it. If we just do what the Word of God says, it's not that difficult. And I'll tell you one of the saddest parts. Can I unload on you tonight? All right. Saddest part is that person says, well, there aren't any Baptist preachers around you that agree with you. And you know what? There aren't many. And that's really sad. That people who don't want to dress right can point at that. And that's a shame. We just need to get back to what does the Bible say. And so that's why I've tried in these lessons. It'd be really easy. I am a sarcastic person. It would be easy for me to use sarcasm. It would be easy for me to use reasoning. It would be easy for me to almost, ridicule. Because, flesh. But I try, really. I just want to show you what the Bible says. Because that's what matters. It doesn't matter. I don't care if 0 preachers agree with what the Bible says. The Bible's true and man is wrong. It doesn't care how many line up against God's word. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's word is truth. And I do not back down from the fact that dress matters to God. Because the very first time it's mentioned, God says, let me correct it. If it didn't matter, why did God take such detail? And not just that, in these other scriptures that we've studied already in just a few studies that we've had. And so we see here, and I make this next statement. I hope you're just following with me in the introduction. Dress matters to God. Things that matter to God should matter to us. Now, if you want to underline something in your notes, all right, dress is all about the heart and authority. Dress is all about the heart and authority. Let me tell you what all of it's about. This whole matter is about the heart and authority. Either we're not in a place where our heart is just in love with God, don't want to be told what to wear. It's a matter of authority and a matter of heart. Now, I will say this, as I said, I've tried to say in every lesson, all right? This is something that, you know, you learn. I believe that, you know, it doesn't take long. The Holy Spirit will begin to teach you, even if no one preaches on it. The Holy Spirit begins to teach the heart of that person who gets saved and is trying to grow in the Lord. You know, I remember we were just talking the other day with my mom, and she mentioned that when my dad got saved, you know, first time that she met him, I think it was because Grace turned 15. That's what it was. Grace just turned 15, and she said, "I met your papaw when I was 15. And then she began to talk about when she first met him, and he had hair. He had just gotten saved, and he had hair all the way down to his belt. I mean, and it was cute hair, man. He primped it. He had it feathered. Oh, yeah. Remember that? All right. I had feathered, right? And his long hair, he could wear it in a ponytail, yeah, all this stuff. And my mom said, "That guy is disgusting," right? And then she ended up marrying him, right? But you know, it didn't take long that the Holy Spirit began to teach him that, you know, you needed to get your hair cut. You know, that same Spirit, if you're saved, that lives in us, He will only lead us into truth. So there are some that do not know, and they will grow. The Holy Spirit of God will teach them. But again, that's not... I hope these lessons, for maybe someone who's not heard these things, never, you know, taken the time to study it, I hope that maybe the Holy Spirit will show them some things, and they can say, "All right, let's look at what the Bible says." And the Holy Spirit begins to teach us. But primarily, that's not who throws a fit. Those who have never heard this aren't the ones, you know, texting at 2 a.m. and calling and sending nasty emails, right? That's not that crew. It's those who heard it and don't want to do it. Those are the ones that get upset about it. When it's just a matter of the heart and a matter of authority. If you don't remember much about tonight's lesson, remember that. It's heart and authority. We are clothed first on the inside. We saw week number one, we're clothed in righteousness, salvation, strength, honor, humility, and judgment. We then saw in Matthew 7:15, it reminds us that there is such a thing as sheep's clothing. We're to beware of wolves who try to dress in sheep's clothing. We've kind of used that as a springboard for our study. We, being God's sheep, should wear sheep's clothing. We studied last week how a sheep's clothing covers completely. That was number one. It covers completely. We studied again that we are instructed in God's word to keep our bodies covered and to not show nakedness. God even shared with us His definition of nakedness. And here they are again in Isaiah 24, the showing of the buttocks, as it says. Exodus 22, the loins. Isaiah chapter 47, the thighs. And in John 21 and Ezra 23, the trunk and the chest. To show these things is nakedness is always in the Bible referred to as being shame. Shame. And again, I have no problem saying this because all I did was give you what the Bible said. You know, that's just what the Bible says. And so, you know, I won't hide behind a pulpit. I'm not afraid to say these things. I am confident those are just scriptures. And those are things is what the Bible shares. And when we show our nakedness, it is shame. Again, you know, I'll address this too. All right. It was brought, you know, and I don't know who all the people may have heard these words. All right. You're teaching legalism. I'm not teaching legalism. Number one, legalism is the teaching that you can earn salvation or earn God's a love by doing certain things. I got news for you. You're not saved by works. There's nothing. Dressing right will not send you to heaven. And dressing wrong won't send you to hell. All right. That's not the issue. And you're not going to make God love you more by dressing a certain way. God loves you, period. It's not about earning God's love. All right? I don't care what you have on. God will always love you. All right? I'm in no way, in zero way, is legalism being taught here. All right? I go back. It's a matter of heart and authority. And we'll end our lesson tonight talking about this. I want to do these things, and I want to dress right, not because I want to earn God's love. He already loves me. He already does. No matter what I do tonight, He still loves me. No matter what I put on, He loves me. Now, He hates sin, but He loves me. I'm not going to earn his love. He's not going to love me more tomorrow because I dressed right today. That's ridiculous. I'm not earning my salvation by dressing right. That's ridiculous. So, well, then why do you dress right? Because I love him. I love him. And I want to do what I can for him. Not in trying to earn something, but just because he's my God. And I love him. And we'll look at it tonight. That love constrains me. That love creates a desire in me to want to do right. And to those who have been taught these things, and to those who know these things, but choose to do otherwise, I'm not mad at you. Like I said last week, no one's judging you. You can continue, and no one's going to come to your house or your door or tell you not to walk in church. All right, isn't going to happen. But I'm telling you that there's a God in heaven who says that we ought to live a holy life. And there's a God in heaven that teaches us how to live a holy life. And we as saved individuals should want to please that God and want to obey that God because he's our God. And it should be a matter of the heart and authority. We should cover our nakedness. We said number one, covers completely. Number two, sheep's clothing. Ready? Let's keep going. Number two, dress should be full. Dress should be full. We should dress in humility. Look at our text in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 8. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about here. It says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness. All right, so dress should be full. Dress in humility. In other words, all right, sheep's clothing. Picture the big fluffy sheep, all right? Picture the big fluffy sheep, all right? Their clothing does not reveal their form. Follow me? Our clothing, all right, should not focus on our form. Men and ladies should dress in holiness. Our clothing that we put on should not draw attention to our bodies. And there are most of the world's culture today and their dress, unfortunately for men and ladies, is made and cut in a way, either being very clingy or very tight to draw attention to parts of the body. Even with men today, unfortunately, there's this thing called skinny jeans, right? They are disgusting, all right, is what they are, right? But why are they made? I'll stop and say this. They were made, by no coincidence, they've become popular as the sodomite acceptance has become popular. Because it draws attention to the body, the tightness, and it draws attention to certain parts of the body. And I say this, men and ladies should dress in holiness. Now look at our text here. A lot of times when we go to this passage of Scripture, people just jump to verse number 9 and just, you know, let the ladies have it in their dress. But you have to go back to verse number 8, because verse number 9 says, in like manner. All right? So in like manner. Have you followed that? So women are to dress like what was just described for the men. Right? In like manner. All right. A lot of times you just jump on verse number 9 and say, you know, women need to dress modestly, right? And then we give all the lesson. Well, that's great, but men, you're not excused, all right? Men need to be dressing modestly too. Verse number 8, let's go back. I will therefore that men, again, pray everywhere, and men should be praying and, you know, and calling out and leading in that way, but lifting up holy hands. Again, that doesn't mean you have to pray like this, but what it was a symbolization, all right? The hands are clean. When I come to God, I don't have sin. There's nothing separating me and the Lord. I've cleansed myself. I'm walking and living in holiness without wrath and without doubting. Holiness, no wrath, no doubting. Verse 9, what's the first few words? In like manner. So that's the way men are to handle themselves. In the same way a lady should handle herself. Well, in what same way? Let's go back, all right? you just stop and think about the Bible, it's pretty simple, right? What are the words in verse number 8 that men are to have, right? Holy, no wrath, no doubting. In like manner, women are to dress modestly. So women are to dress modestly in the same way, in holiness, without wrath, and without what? Follow me? Let's talk about it. What's he saying? What's the point there, right? What is Paul referring to? And you know, what is our attention drawn to? That whenever we're putting on our clothes, our goal, our desire, our attitude should be holiness. I should want to dress holy before the Lord. I should want to dress in a way that I know that God is pleased. I want to dress in a way that I know that my God would be happy with the way that I'm dressed. When Adam and Eve first sewed on their fig leaves, God was not happy with what they put on. God said, "We need to change this." And then he clothed them with coats of skin. God clothed them, and they were finally clothed for the first time. And the fact is this, that if our number one, our heart's desire, again, it all starts, it's a matter of heart and authority. If in our heart, we just desire one thing, I want to please God, you will have no problem dressing in holiness. And not only that, without wrath. Say, well, how do you dress without wrath, right? Well, let me pause. If anyone in this auditorium has heard week one, week two, and already tonight, or anyone has listened to this message on the internet or whatever the case may be, you've watched lesson one, two, and tonight, and you got mad, you're not dressing right. Wrath. Your dress stirred wrath. You're all staring at me weird. Amen. I mean, let's face it, right? If I said, you know, y'all with me on that, right? It's really simple. I mean, the Bible's so clear. Again, well, let's interpret it. Let's just obey it, all right? Let's just do what it says, all right? And we're to be holy, without wrath, without doubting. So, you know, if someone gets up and says, you know, and I'll use this, right? Men, when you come to church, you know, y'all to wear. I don't mean what I'm about to say. I'm making an illustration before anybody gets mad at me. All right. Ready? So, men, I think when you stand behind the pulpit, you ought to have a tie on. And I really believe that with all my heart. Now, I don't have a Bible verse for that. So, I do it because I think this office, this position, is a place of respect, and I think you ought to dress accordingly. So I dress up for this. Like, it killed me that one Thursday night when my wife brought me the wrong shirt. Everybody remember that? And I had to wear a polo shirt. I was humiliated, man. I mean, it took all I had not to go down with the sun setting with my wrath, not on my wife, right? And I had to, you know, make sure, you know, that killed me. Because, again, dressed, you know, it doesn't matter, right? Really, I'm the same person reading the same Bible. But when you stand up here, all right, I do believe it is a position that I ought to show some respect to what I'm doing. What I'm doing is presenting the Word of God, so I should dress accordingly. And so you know, I do take that, you know, seriously. But let's say that I really believe there's a Bible verse for it, and I said, men ought to wear a tie when they stand behind this pulpit. All right? And I mean that tonight. Brother Jordan says, all right. Because guess what? He had a tie on. You're not mad, right? Right. Yeah, me too, right? I don't have on suspenders tonight. Yeah, Brother Jordan does. All right. So if I said, I don't think any more men should wear suspenders, which I do. I love suspenders, right? But if I said, men shouldn't wear it, they're feminine. Now all of a sudden he's like, whoa, dude, right? Because he's got them on, right? If your clothing lines up with the Word of God, you're not mad. Doesn't make you angry. But if the clothing you have on when you hear the preaching of the Word of God and then the topic of clothing makes you angry, wrath comes in your life, the book isn't wrong. You are. So put on clothes that won't cause wrath. You're loving that, I can tell. You're so quiet. All right, we'll keep going. Holiness without wrath, and then without what? Without what? Doubting. I should wear what I know is right. What I know is right. If you're... Now, and this is simple. But I promise you this, young people, you won't have a problem with dress if you'll just take this verse and say, I want to wear what I know, where I will not have a doubt if I'm right or wrong. If you take that approach to it, you'll never have an issue. You know, where should, well, I've been talking about us men with our ties, right? Where should a lady's dress, how far should it go, right? How far down, right? Top of the knee? Above the knee? We know that's wrong. We just covered that. The thigh is nakedness. Top of the knee? Middle of the knee? Bottom of the knee? Calf? Tripping over it as you walk? I mean, how far? And the reality is this, right? Ladies, say, how can I make that decision? How low is too low? All right? At school, we had to make a standard. You know, so I think we did, what was it, the three fingers or four fingers or something? Maybe. I forget what it is. That's ladies' business. I have no idea. All right? But, you know, I forget what it was, three or four. And you can ask them if you have a question. All right? Because we had to make a standard. And you had to put it up there. You know, but here's the reality. And if this was the case, you wouldn't need rules in a rule book. Wear what you know is right without a doubt. That God would not be dishonored in this. And if your heart's desire is to wear where there's no doubting here, you won't have a problem with dress. Some of you thought when we were going to 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we're going to nail verse number 9, but verse 8 is the key to it all. Holiness without wrath and without doubting. If what you're wearing at Kroger's and your Sunday school kids walked in, or the pastor walks in, or your Sunday school teacher walks in, and you're like, I don't want them to see me in this, then don't wear it. Doubting. Or someone gets up and preaches on clothing, and you're like, well, I don't know, that guy, he's ridiculous. I can wear this if I want to. Without wrath. Now, there's been things in my life that preachers have preached on that, boy, when I heard it, I got upset. I can't believe you're challenging me. I am a holy person, right? And I couldn't believe that sometimes someone taught something that I remember when I first went to college, you know, and they started, you know, I remember this. I wouldn't plan on mentioning this, but I remember this, all right? Some of the kids are going to college pretty soon, right? I remember going to college, and they were talking about you have to turn in all your music and every one of your cassettes had to have a sticker on it, right? I'll explain what a cassette is later, all right? In our school play, it was written in the 70s, and in the school play, one of the lines was they listened to a cassette, and the first time the kid read that line, they're like, you know, oh, let me see the cassette. I was like, cassette? What's a cassette? And they're like, I don't know, it says cassette. I was like, that's a cassette. What's a cassette? Ah, all right, anyways. I remember going to college my freshman year, and all these people were like, we have to get our music approved. And they turned them all in, and like no one was getting their music back. You know, they would hold them till the end of the semester because they weren't approved music, and they couldn't get these little stickers on them. And I was just like, you bunch of heathens, man. You know, what kind of stuff are you listening to? I mean, I'm just picturing all their, you know, rock music and all, you know, all this stuff. And I was just like, I'll turn in mine. I turned in mine, got nothing back. Nothing. And I was just like, are you serious? You know, I was just, you know, this place is crazy. I have nothing wrong with my music. But I found out, you know what? There was. I grew some. And I learned some things. None of us have arrived. And if I could have connected these dots, I got mad when they told me I couldn't listen to my music. And then the next semester, when I picked up a few more music, you know, cassettes, and I think I got my first CD, and I had that, I was just like, I catch this, right? Here's how evil I am, right? Maybe I shouldn't turn it in, right? Because if I turn it in, they might not give it to me, and I like this. And I was afraid to turn it in. You know what that was? Doubting. I'm thankful to be able to say by the time I got to my fourth year of school, I had a desire to listen to the right stuff, and my taste had changed, and my knowledge of what real good music was had grown, and there was a desire just to please God. It's the same with music. It's the same with dress. Wrath, no doubting, and is it holy? Again, we're not going to get very far tonight, right? But that's truth right there. Now, let's keep going. In like manner. So in the same way, ladies should dress modestly. Let's go back to our notes, all right? All that was bonus material without the notes. Ready? Our dress should not focus on our form. Men and ladies should dress in holiness in like manners. Both men and women should dress modestly. One of the biggest differences in sheep and wolf's clothing is that sheep's clothing hides the form. Letter A. What is modest apparel? Now, this is a matter of the heart. What is modest apparel? Number one, the word modest apparel, right, in this verse. Look at verse number 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, it's just, you just have to study. It's not hard, all right? But that word, all right, modest apparel, everybody says, well, that is just a matter of interpretation. Well, let me tell you, if you just get a dictionary and look at the words and what they mean, all right, the big fancy to show you I went to college, all right, those words are kosmios and katastole, but it means this, long and flowing, orderly, a letting down. That's what the word means. Long and flowing and orderly in a letting down. Number two, the child of God should avoid clingy clothes. Now, the word, those phrases, modest apparel, are not used. They're referring to the men, all right? Because men aren't to wear long, flowing, and letting down. Men have something a little bit different in the Word of God. I'm getting ahead of myself. But in the Bible, you'll find the word breeches, all right? Breeches, as we said, all right? All right? But breeches, those are pants. And you'll see this phrase, all right? When it came time to work, when it came time to go to war, and these other things, the Bible says that the men were to gird up their loins, all right? They had their breeches on, and they would have worn, just as you see all the pictures, all right? They had their robe on or whatever they had on, all right? Which, you know, out is still custom to this day to wear those kind of clothes in many parts out that direction. But when it came time to war, they would pick up that, and they would tuck it into their waist, all right, so that, and they had on their breeches so they could run, they could jump, they could climb, they could go to war, they could attack somebody, ride a horse, whatever they needed to do, right, work out in the field, all right, but the fact is they would gird up, and you will only find breeches and girding up associated with men. That's it. A man's clothing. And one of the things that distinguishes a man's clothing from a woman's clothing is the girding up. All of you men right now have clothes on that have been girded up. All right? So what do you mean girded up? There is a division. We have pant legs. All right? And the clothes have been girded up. They've been cut up. They've been girded up so that we can, you know, whatever, run, jump, do whatever you need to do, go to battle if you're going to do that, right? But that's where it all started, all right? But they're cut up. That's a man's garment. We wear breeches. That's what men wear. And they're cut up. A lady's is to be long flowing and let down. That's modest. That's what the word means. Number two, the child of God should avoid clingy clothes. Number three, our clothes should not attract people to our bodies, but point people to our God. A man wearing breeches is the way God designed a man to dress. Now, again, they should not in any way show off the form. That's not what clothing should do. So we avoid, you know, the skinny jeans. We avoid the skin-tight shirts. You know, I want to show my abs, right? Well, you're not to show your abs, all right? Yeah, but, you know, I'm built like a rock, all right? Well, that's fine, but keep it covered, all right? God didn't tell us. You know, God did tell us to cover our nakedness. And when you reveal your form, all right, you're dressing immodestly. But for the difference between a man and a lady's is a lady's is a letting down, a man's is a girding up. And again, it's a matter of the heart. And I get to it in a second. Again, I go back. Why do people show their nakedness? We talked about last week. Nakedness is shame. Why is there shame? pride. Why would someone want to dress in a modest way and draw attention to parts of their bodies? I mean, you can have your body completely covered and be completely immodest. I mean, completely covered, but be completely immodest. If your clothing draws attention to those same areas of nakedness, then it's immodest. So, well, my rear end is covered. Yeah, but if your clothes are screaming, look at my rear end, you're immodest. So if we dress in a way that draws attention to our bodies, that's an immodest dress. Letter B, why are most people angry? So why do people get upset? It's a matter of authority. Number one, God specifically has designed clothing that pertains to a man, different clothing that pertains to a lady. In Deuteronomy chapter 22 and in verse number 5. Let's look over there. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5. Probably know the verse. Deuteronomy 22 and verse number 5. You'll see the point. But God specifically has given clothing that pertains to a man and different clothing that pertains to a lady. I'll be able to go really quick through this. Stay with me. Deuteronomy 22, verse number 5 says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment." Now, I'm not a genius, but I can figure this out. That God then must have certain garments that are for men and certain garments that are for ladies. I mean, you don't have to be a doctorate in theology to figure this out, right? That is what it says. We see in our New Testament, right, that the ladies should dress in modest apparel, a loose letting, flowing letting down. The men wore breeches in the scriptures. They girded up their loins. So let's look at this real quick. Number one, God's specific is design. Number two, men's clothing is pants, so we call them today, or breeches. Breeches are mentioned 5 times in the Bible and always in reference to a man. Men were to gird up when going to war, work, or moving quickly. Number three, ladies' clothing. And I say this without hesitation based upon studying the Word of God, that a lady should dress in a dress or skirt. The lady's modest apparel in 1 Timothy 2:9 is a letting down. A letting down. The lady's garment, letter B, should be let down, not girded up. Letter C, a divided crotch in the outfit is the girding or pulling up. That's why, you know, and again, I'm just giving you these things. You all pray, study, do what the Lord tells you to do. But that's why, you know, even at school, we changed some different standards at school after studying the Word of God. And I believe this, all right? You know, we don't, with our volleyball team, they don't wear culottes anymore. They wear skirts, all right? In PE class, they wear skirts, all right? Why? Because I do not believe, I cannot find in Scripture, it's only for a man to gird up. A lady should always be loose and letting down. Now, do I think, you know, you've crossed a line and you're wicked, you know, if you have a pair of culottes on? And I'm not going to say, you know, that you're a wicked person, but I am saying I studied it, and what I found is this, I know. Everybody looking at me? I know that a skirt is right for a lady. I know that. I know that it's loose and letting down if it's worn modestly. Someone preaches on ladies' dress, I don't get upset with them wearing a skirt or a dress. I have no doubt that that's right. And I believe it to be holy. And I would prefer to dress in a way that is holy, without wrath, and without any doubts. So we've changed that policy, and we've asked that, you know, at school and these functions that we do that, and I encourage you to study that out too. It's a loose letting down. Our first objection, I'm just talking as from experience, all right? Anytime standards are preached, first objection is this: you know how much clothes I'd have to get rid of? I mean, that's always, for whatever reason, boom, right? And I just take a step back, take a deep breath, honey. If it's right, I don't care what we have to get rid of, it's right. Get rid of whatever we need to get rid of. I mean, you would amen me. I mean, you would be a loud amen if I talked about pornography tonight and said this, I don't care how much you have invested in that filth, go burn it. You'd be amening the house down. Well, that stuff will destroy your life. It's not right. Well, shouldn't we be able to say that our clothing is right? And if something isn't right, if it causes doubt, if you get mad when it's preached on, well, then let's get rid of it. It's a matter of heart and a matter of authority. Heart and authority. I believe they should be loose. They should be letting down. Again, we've already covered this last week, but covering all opportunities for show nakedness should be removed in clothing. Well, how far should it be clothing? Without wrath, without doubting, in holiness. How low can a shirt be worn? Without doubt, without wrath, and in holiness. How tight can it be? Without doubt, without wrath, in holiness. Because in like manner, ladies dress modestly. Men, you ought to dress in a way and carry yourself in a way in holiness, without doubt, and without wrath. In the same way, ladies dress modestly. Amen. That's what it says. Number four, it is a matter of authority. I just give you this to think about. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. You remember that when it talks about how that God is the head of the Lord Jesus? Jesus is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman. And then it goes directly into a something that pictures this. How that when we already studied this in church, that ladies, when it comes to coming into church and praying, ladies should have their head covered. And what is that covering? It very clearly says it is that hair. That hair is a glory and a covering. All right? And the hair is to be let down. All right? It's a matter of humility. Whereas a man is to cut his hair. Following that? Because they've been placed in that different position. A lady that would not want to do that, say, I'm wearing my butch haircut, and I don't care if I look just like a man, I'm wearing my haircut the way that I want to, right? It's a matter of the heart and a matter of authority. In the same way, our clothing, again, that A lady is subject to her husband. B, a symbol of that humility is the letting down of her hair. C, let's be honest, wearing the pants in the family is a sign of authority. Right? Always has been. Where did that saying come from, right? I'll tell you where its roots are. There's clothing that pertains to a man and clothing that pertains to a woman. Number three, dress should be pressable. Now get stages with me. We're almost done. These are easy. Dress should be pressable. Dress in honor. Everything, 1 Corinthians 14:40, should be orderly, decently and in order. See, what do you mean by that? Well, wool, look at my italics. Wool may be pressed and made crisp and sharp and demands respect. You know what the nicest suits are made out of? Wool. You know what those military outfits are made out of? Wool, because they can be pressed and made to look sharp and they demand respect. A, we do not dress so or to our honor. We don't dress to our honor, but for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our dress, your dress, now by the way, don't take this the other direction either. There's a ditch on both sides, I'm sure. Don't dress and say, well, look how I dress. I am a modest dresser. I am dressing in holiness unlike the rest of you carnal beast, right? That's pride, and that's just as wicked. We're not dressing for our honor. Your dress, it's all about the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. B, our appearance should be orderly and worthy of respect. What is orderly? All things be done decently and in order. What is orderly? Neatness. You ought to dress neatly. Right? Neatly. Now, to the best of your ability. Right? There's some of you, I'm sure, my dress shirts, they, whatever brand that Walmart is, all right, they make a fine dress shirt. They last about 6 months, and you buy another $12 shirt, all right? I'm cool with that, right? I remember one time someone gave me a gift card, and I bought, it's actually this one, all right? And I didn't think about it till I was looking over my sermon notes for tonight. It's a Joseph Abboud. I don't even know how to say it, all right? It's a fancy dress shirt, man. I mean, this shirt is nice. Someone bought it for me. It is nice. It's a nice shirt. I mean, normally, this shirt is $99. I mean, that's incredible. I didn't buy it. So don't be like, hey, where'd you get all your money? I didn't buy it, all right? But someone, they were on sale two for $99. Buy one, get one free. And they took me there, and they bought me two of these shirts. And I will say, they are nice shirts, man. There's a big difference between this and my Walmart shirt. I'll tell you that, all right? But the fact is this, all right? This is not typical for me, and I'll tell you why. On the way back from the hospital, we grabbed something to eat. I got a big stain already right there. And when my wife ironed it, I got a big stain on my arm right there, all right? So these shirts are not good for me, all right? Anyway, my wife's totally embarrassed now, right? But the fact is this, all right? I'm sorry, all right? Making a point. You know, that's why I don't have a lot of nice shirts, right? But the fact is this. I'm not dressing, all right? It doesn't matter what's Joseph Abboud or whatever Walmart is, all right? Wear your best. At times, you need to wear your best. But at all times, it doesn't matter what the brand name is, you can look neat. There's a difference, neat and orderly. All right? I know nothing I have on is super fancy except my spotted shirt. All right, right there. All right? Nothing I have on is that way. All right? But I don't matter if it's this or my Walmart shirt, I can look neat. But if I untucked half this shirt, half of it's tucked in, half of it's not, you know, I never wash my pants and they're ragged and I never take the time to correct anything, right? You should dress neatly. So why should I dress neatly, right? You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Look neat. Have neatness about you. I don't hesitate in saying that. Now, when you're working, you should be dirty. When you're a kid, you should be rolling around in the mud. I'm not taking that away, all right? Of course, you're going to do those things and do those things, all right? We all have the outfit that we paint in and then the outfit I hope we go to church in, right? You know, we have, all right? You're going to get dirty. You're going to get messy. I'm just saying this. It's not a matter of the type of clothing, but you can look neat. Some shirts are made to be untucked, all right? I don't think, you know, you don't have to tuck in every shirt. They're made to be untucked. That's great, all right? I actually love those shirts, all right? You can look neat, but there's a difference between looking, you know, like a mess. The world does that. The world likes to turn their hat sideways, have one tucked in and one not. The world likes to have everything ragged and cut, and they pay big money now to have ragged and cut jeans and things, right? But it's neatness and cleanliness. All right, if you can avoid stinking, avoid stinking. Amen. Say, well, that shouldn't matter, right? If you can avoid it. Because trust me, you sit down on a bus or on a bench and you're trying to witness to somebody, your cause for Christ has greatly been hindered when they can't stand sitting next to you. And it's all about, and I'll show it to you in a second, our dress is about pointing people to the Lord. Orderly. I like these little phrases. Your life is usually heading the same way as your ball cap. I always tell our kids that at school, all the boys, right? They're like, hey, and they put their head on backwards. Or they turn it on now and it's always sideways, right? Right, you know? Just remember, your life is always heading the same way as your ball cap. That's just wise wisdom right there. Letter B, be careful with your high heels, ladies. I didn't put ladies, but that should be understood, all right? Be careful with your high heels. All right? Is it wrong to wear high heels? No. But there comes a line when it's become about something beyond looking nice. When all of a sudden you're drawing attention to you. And, you know, you can talk to my wife or somebody to get further details if you're interested. But there comes a point at an angle when your feet become so jacked up in the back with your heels that it draws and demands attention to your legs and your rear end. So be careful. You say, oh, that's not true. Why don't you study the dress of the strange woman? Go ahead and take a survey. Go down the street. Describe the dress of a harlot. You'll hear something. You hear a couple things repeated over and over again. Why? Because it accentuates the body. So I just say, be careful. Nothing wrong with wearing a heel. Right? Nothing wrong. Until it's worn, you know, goes beyond the line. Letter C, don't wear words that attract attention to your body. So what do you mean, don't wear words? Right? People, one of the modern things they do is they have these phrases like, on the clothing of the rear end. and it just says whatever it says right there. There's only one reason why you would write something on your rear end. It's to get people to look at your rear end. It's the only reason. Be careful with words. There's nothing wrong with words on your clothes until they demand attention to parts of your body that shouldn't be drawn attention to. You say, can you talk about these things? It's a problem today in our world. And if we don't teach it and teach it correctly, it will become a problem in our churches. Number four, dress fireproof. And we'll pick up there next week. But I'll just tell you this, wool is self-extinguishing. Do you know if you try to light wool on fire, it just goes out? And I'll just give you a preview at the beginning of next week. We are going to give an account for everything we do as a believer. And someday we'll stand before the Lord and be judged. And I want my clothing to not be something that hindered the cause of Christ.